I mean, you do that next year.
Man, like, this is a far cry from that Western Conference Championship that DeMar DeRozan was talking about in July.
Like, you do that next year, but DeMar's contract's not guaranteed the third year, right?
No, I don't
think so. So I'm sure that's part you start the rebuild after that. Like I said, we're all stalling till a rebuild.
Well, I'm sure, too, if he wants to leave, that comes this offseason. That doesn't come the non-guaranteed offseason. Mm-hmm. That's the, this is a joke. It's everything everyone has ever said it was. Get me out of here.
Call it what you want. Like, this team can maybe scrap their way to the second round, first round next year or whatever, but this front office botched this whole, whatever you want to call it, this build. Like, they just botched it. There's no there's no fixing it. There's no reaching the heights that they wanted to before.
So I thought about this, too, and when people say they botched everything, I look at it a little different. I do think they botched it, but I don't think about it the same way as others. A lot of people are like, they didn't go out and improve this team after the Beam Team 1 year. And I'll ask everybody here, what was the move at that time?
After Beam Team 1?
Yeah.
Improvement.
What was the move?
Traded Kevin Herter for all I care. You needed to improve. Like, it was 2 years ago, so I can't tell you off the top of my head, but you needed to improve.
I feel like some of the same issues that were discussed a couple weeks ago were discussed then. Like, I don't know the ability to acquire Jonas Valanciunas at the time or the backup big position or the stretch or the alternate big position. We always say backup, but maybe someone who could just play differently than Domantas Sabonis. That was the move the year of the Beam Team. That was certainly the move that offseason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Harrison Barnes was the priority. Well, we know Harrison Barnes wasn't the priority. We know they put the Harrison Barnes conversation on hold. They just weren't able to land who they were looking for.
And that's understandable. Like, but I look at it where, like, the move to make, like, that would elevate you, that would take you to another level. They could have got a Valanciunas to back up Sabonis. That would help for sure. But the move to elevate you, you would be asking to get rid of one of those guys that was a starter.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were not in favor of that. When we talked about Siakam and OG and all this other stuff, but Keegan was the one that you had to move, and everybody said no.
No, yeah, but that's the thing. That's why we don't matter. That's why even though D'Lo and Casey seem to shake this entire goddamn franchise, we don't matter.
The Kings won.
Don't listen to us. Don't listen to @KingsFan972 on Twitter. Know what you're doing. And they don't.
But I'm going to ask you.
I don't care if fans don't like it.
I'm asking you.
If I could have acquired a better player for Keegan Murray, and if I'm the front office and I feel like this makes my team better longer than the hope and prayer that he does, yes, I do it. Okay. I'm not trying to upset you here as we bring in Trista Crick. It can't be Zach LaVine. It can't be an older player. It needs to be a guy who still has I'm using the cheap analogy. OG Anunoby. Mm-hmm. That worked. I don't think Siakam worked as much, but with Domas, it worked. Mm-hmm. That trajectory of player worked. There are players that I don't think Keegan works for.
Does this look okay? Because I feel like I could do it better on my phone.
Oh. What are you?
You look.
What are you on a computer?
You look great. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm on a.
I think it's a little darker than you're used to.
What lounge are you in?
I'm in my hotel room.
What happy hour are you in?
You look fine. You're overreacting.
No, you look
overreacting.
Yeah, you look great.
You look great.
It's fine.
I noticed something about.
We've done this show pixelated before. It's okay.
I noticed something about TK the other day in one of her videos. Your hair is getting longer than we've ever seen it before.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even a bad thing. I'm just saying her hair's. I've never seen her hair this.
And long. You know what makes it really stand out is those chokers that you have, because you had that. You had a monster necklace on. With the open bottom and then the hair just flowing down. It was like, oh yeah, TK's hair is. I noticed the same thing. Yeah. TK's hair.
I noticed
really long.
It when she was in the forest.
Yeah,
the botanical gardens.
The garden, yeah.
Botanical garden.
Yeah.
At Golden, you guys obviously are not big Golden Gate Golden Gate Park fans.
No, I've been there. It's nice. I know where you were. It's very nice.
All right. I don't think he goes. If I was going to typecast,
I wouldn't say I go. I've been.
He's not like, oh, I've got to do that. That's where I have to go.
Yeah, no. But I've been.
You've been?
I've been.
What, with the fam?
Yeah. Jazz usually is the one that gets me out there. Jazz got me out to, where did we go? Yosemite. I wouldn't have gone to Yosemite if it wasn't for her. And it was very nice. It was cool.
What game was that day?
It's the gold medal game.
Oh, God. That's right. That's right. Hold on. Stop. I know you're really flustered. I want you to get settled. I know you hate this, so I want you to be okay.
All right, so the way that this looks, like I'm not going to give you because you can't see it. I'm literally sitting on the hotel bed. I've got my legs outstretched onto the little side table, and the laptop is sitting on my shoes. But it's better lighting. I like this lighting much better.
You're a pro.
As long as I feel like you have gone through some really uncomfortable lengths to do our show with good lighting and good video quality. So we appreciate
it. Well, I mean, that. I should probably be in a place that's a little more stable when we do our hits, but just my life right now is not set up that way. And I love you for accepting me for
Sweetie,
it.
Sweetie, our show isn't set up that way. That is not what we do here. We argued about food for like an hour earlier. It's fine. It's perfect.
I want to just say back to your King's point, because before we lose this thread, I just want to, give myself the receipts and put them back out there. The Chatty House, they keep receipts.
They do.
Remember, I advocated for trading Keegan Murray for Lauri Markkanen. And I talked to James Hamm in studio about it. And fans and folks were like, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And I bet you right now you'd be very happy with Lauri Markkanen and Keegan Murray in a first-round pick as the trade.
I think we would too. I was going back to after Beam Team 1 year though, that summer, and everybody's like, they didn't do anything that summer. There was stuff, they got complacent and all this other stuff.
Well, I think you could have done it then, if I'm not mistaken. No,
are we? But
yes,
are we? I know we're just fans. I understand that, but should we have been trading Keegan Murray after his rookie year? Like, who was in that mindset?
Yeah, no, I mean, no, I get that. Like, I completely understand that. But this is the game you play as a general manager. And if your belief is, like, that's who he is, yo, you ride it out. Like, all right, this is what we're going with. The problem is there has allegedly been a number of offers on the table that involved Keegan Murray in trades. Mm-hmm. And they said no to all of them, and they all look really bad right now. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know the true validity of those.
Can we talk about what those are? Because I don't think I'm up on what those are.
Well, no, because we don't. I think there's extenuating circumstances in all of them. Mm-hmm. The long belief has been that Toronto, in both player conversations, were pushing for Keegan Murray. The problem with that is the players had a lot of control in that. OG Anunoby had control because of their contract situations.
They didn't want to go to Sacramento.
I don't think that's true about OG Anunoby, but Pascal Siakam, maybe it is. And maybe Sacramento didn't want to pay Pascal Siakam the deal that Indiana did. That's Siakam's agent that's his job, his agent's job to know that stuff. So Keegan Murray being involved in that isn't good business. You know you're signing OG Anunoby, or you know you're signing Pascal Siakam. You can't include Keegan Murray in those deals. Outside of that, I don't know what else Keegan has been involved in. Certainly not that has been public.
I think also,
and that's a rumor, by the way. I don't even know if Masai pushing for Keegan is accurate. I think it really boiled down to the contract stuff. Sorry, TK.
Good point. I think if you're a GM, you have to assess where you are in the developmental life cycle of your team, right? And so how important is it to add a young player where your team is and what those aspirations are? And given that the team went to the playoffs, went 7 games with Golden State, and then Golden State ended up winning the title, and you gave them such a tough fight along the way, you think to yourself, well, we're not in a mode of developing guys and waiting 3, 4, 5 years for them to turn into who they are. We need a guy who is largely around what Keegan Murray's upside is, or at least the median of his upside right now. We can't be waiting for that. And so if you have Domantas Sabonis and you have De'Aaron Fox, you say to yourself, well, we need to sort of figure out a way to be in a win now scenario. And a rookie, this is the best time to trade a player, is when their value is the highest. You can't wait for, you know, a sophomore slump to start thinking about putting your guy on the trade block. You have to kind of maximize the amount of value that they have.
I agree with you. And I believe Trista would probably said the same thing in the summer of 2023. But everybody, I got to stop saying everybody. A lot of people were like, yo, you just found this next two-way, you know, great player with the fourth pick and Keegan Murray. Like, I don't think it was somebody that you were going to trade, or they were going to trade at that particular time. You start talking about money, you start talking about the cap and all this other stuff, and you've got this guy that you think is that good on the rookie deal. I don't think they were. Now, I brought all that up to say people look at, oh, you should have got this guy and this guy, and yada, 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 as to why they didn't get better. To me, the front office is on thin ice, if not gone, and they butchered this whole thing because they haven't drafted correctly since Tyrese Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
They've missed on damn near everything. I'm not going to call Keegan a miss because I think he's a good ball player, but when you look at what's around him, you look at Jaden Ivey.
Or who's not here. Oh,
well, But those guys around it, this guy's the fourth pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, like right now, whether it's good business or not, Detroit, just in a fantasy world, could say, you know what? I've seen Jaden Ivey pre-injury and everything. We're going to build around him. He's franchise. Portland, they can look at Jaden and be like, it's a little risky, but he's our guy. Let's build around him. There's no way you can say that. Dyson Daniels to a certain degree. There's no way you say that.
Jalen Williams.
There's no way you would say that about Keegan Murray. Their inability to draft anybody in about 5 years that you could look at and say, if all this goes to hell, we've got this guy and we're gonna build some stuff around him. That's the biggest failure of their tenure.
Yeah. Yeah. What a mess.
Yeah, you look back at that draft class and you're like, wow, there were a lot of more impactful guys that you should have been at least looking at. And I know that the OKC Thunder drafted Jalen Williams in like the 13th overall spot. But if you're really secure in your talent evaluation, OKC does this all the time. Mm-hmm. And this is the difference between them and everybody else. They don't care what everybody else's draft board say. They stand 10 toes down in their takes and what their eyes tell them and what their scouting does. I think so many times evaluators, GMs, front offices in general get so tapped in to what The Athletic is putting out and what Sam Vecenie in general and like Draft Express and like it gets into this almost echo chamber mentality where you draft guys based on what the media tells you is the draft board, not what you see. And I think that is a massive mistake and one that'll get you fired.
Well, the Kings definitely didn't do that with Keegan.
No. And we focus on Keegan. I put emphasis on that draft class, but the Davion draft class, this one that just passed, the Devin Carter, that's the nail in the coffin.
The Devin Carter.
For this front office group.
TK told us, pat yourself on the back again. Told us day one.
I don't believe in this guy.
That's the nail in the coffin. Like you can't go 5 years with, and just for argument's sake, only getting one guy in the draft that you can even look at as being a rotational guy. You can't do that.
How was All-Star festivities for you in San Francisco?
All-Star festivities were, I would say, out of a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it an 8.6. Didn't get to see Kenny doing his thing. Well, in San Francisco.
Didn't have his phone charger with him.
Couldn't keep up with Trista. Couldn't keep up.
Don't put this
I
on
texted
Trista.
Him and he was like, oh, I'm going to Oakland. I got this Jordan thing. I'm like, yo, the line's 5 miles long. Why are you even over there? I found back over here.
And I did.
And he was on some BS.
No, and like, no, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. What happened? Hold on. I get back over there.
You didn't hit me until like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, because where were you supposed to be?
I was supposed to be in the arena at 5, but I wanted to meet you before 5 because I wasn't sure.
Well, no, you weren't sure.
Well, I mean, I was sure, but then I got to the party that was literally inside a Chase at this Miller and Lux Steakhouse, and like Mr. Beast was inside. I'm sorry, you can't compete with Mr. Beast.
Well, see?
I just had sushi with you.
I texted. I was like, TK, where you at? I'm so hyped. Man, I get to see my first All-Star Saturday night with TK.
She told me it was dead, by the way. He told me the vibe. The nail in the coffin was that I said, what is it like in there? I'm right next door. And Kenny said, it's a little dead in here. And I said, all right, chucking up the deuces. Because it's Chinese New Year. You know when people get out that bitch, Ubers are going to be surging. The lines are going to be crazy. It's going to take you 30, 40 minutes to get an Uber. I was not trying to walk from Chase Center 2.7 miles back to Nob Hill to my little Holiday Inn. So I was not trying to do that. So I had a 4-minute Uber wait for $9, and I watched it on TV.
See? Did you see what happened, though? I was there. I said, yo, TK, let's go to sleep.
I hit you at noon. Kenny, I hit you at noon o'clock. Where are you? What's happening?
Driving.
I just got my credentials. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know what people like do.
What do you mean? Oh, do what? That's where I was going.
There's like murkiness.
It took you 5 hours to get from Oakland to San Francisco?
Oh, I was at around that time. I stopped in Alameda. Thought I'd be able to get in there. Didn't happen. Then it took me about... an hour to get to the hotel.
You see, this is what I deal with on a day-to-day basis.
And then I got downtown and I hollered.
This is what I'm talking about, is that there's like gaps in time where you're like, well, I hit you at noon and I didn't hear back till 5.
That's not what happened.
It doesn't take that long to do all these things. Like, I feel like a wife, right? Like, where are you at? Like, I got to track you. I need to be accounting every minute. It's like, okay, well, I'll just see the next time around. And then Kyle's like, oh, you know, I got to go see and then Logan's show is from 2 to 4. I'm like, Logan lives local to you, Kyle. You do not need to pull up to a podcast recording, but it's cool. I'm just out here outside waiting for you two.
If I didn't know you on the All-Star Saturday night, we would have. I didn't know she wasn't going to go. I was like, TK, I'm up in here. I'm not going. What?
Wow. Y'all just fumbled the TK bag everywhere.
I know. And here's the thing. I made the drive to Sacramento. I rented a car. The effort I put in for you guys as like our collective family is immense. Mm-hmm. Only you guys and my mom and pretty much it. Maybe my childhood friend Nancy. That's the amount of effort. Those are the three Nancy. People I would put that much effort in for. Going through a torrential rainstorm?
Again. Again.
Again.
It's tough, yeah.
It was a scary, dicey drive back, too. It was,
Was it really?
Very wet. Very wet.
It can be scary.
Rain coming into the face
entire
time.
Yep.
And the little Mazda that I was driving was squirrely.
I can see that, yeah.
But overall, I would say that All-Star Weekend was what I just wish I would have. I wish my boys would have pulled up. And then I texted Kyle, and he was like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize. It was Chinese New Year, so I got up out of there. I just left. Just went.
Now, I was like, wasn't the last time I talked to TK. You're up after All-Star Weekend. So what's the move?
I had a sick flight the next day.
What you want to do? To be outside.
I wasn't outside.
Stay up all night.
TK moves with tensions.
Come on, and the choker comes off. Pause. It's a wrap.
You're having quite a stretch here.
Oh, man.
It's the Flamin' Hot Cheetos and TN broadcasts, and that's it.
Unbelievable.
You know what it's like, Damien. Once you get inside, I bet it's like it's in a wrap. It's night.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. At least I'm. At least I didn't lie to you.
We parted.
We parted ways on Thursday. Like, okay, sorry, I can't make it. You know, we got stuff going on, but you know, have a good time with the fellas. They just.
I know.
I hit her twice.
Well, it's not what it sounded like.
Yeah.
You got to connect with Kenny on Kenny's time.
Okay, I get it. Kenny was not even bothered. He was like, oh, I go to a CVS. I got to get Reese some medicine. It was like he pulled up to the sushi spot for 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He literally left the studio the same exact time.
Yep.
And somehow the gaps in time I'm talking about, Kenny pulls up 15 minutes later.
I was on a phone call.
How? It's across the
I was on a phone call.
It's across.
Literally across the street. Like,
I was on a phone call. Across what are you talking the street. About? I was on a phone call.
I bet being married to you is really challenging.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I mean, because you're a good soul. And like, I bet you that she forgives you a lot. You know?
It's
like, she's like, oh, he's just a nice guy and he's well, but like, he's effing up.
It is blissful.
I couldn't be married to a woman like Kenny. Just a woman with no sense of urgency whatsoever. Just none. It would drive me crazy.
Like,
it's hard enough being married to Kenny this way.
Like, settle down.
That's all the time.
Down.
That's case. Oh,
yes.
That's fine.
He's like, he would make you feel like a histrionic husband. Like you were paranoid. Like the gaslighting would be insane. Insane.
Brutal. Brutal. Where are you at now, and how long are you there? Because I feel like you're flying home today.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I am not flying home tonight. I will be on the show on It Is What It Is for Thursday morning and Friday morning.
There we
go. I fly back.
Oh, wow.
Friday.
Okay. That was not the case the last time we talked, so that's good.
Yep. I got to the studio yesterday, and they were like, something, something, something. What's happening for the rest of the week? And I didn't pay any attention to it. And Cam said, yo, Tris, can you stay another couple of days? And I said, yes. That was that.
Yes. So TK sends me the eyes emoji. I'm like, I'm looking at the phone like, what's on the way? And here comes a video. I'm like, yo, she's at the Wynn. And when she's in Las Vegas, I know what that means. So we back cooking with that. Was a hell of an intro too. Like I enjoyed the intro to yesterday's show. That was solid stuff.
You know what, listen, you know what I mean, can't say much, but you just
say, you know what I mean?
Thank
you know,
you.
Just, yeah.
Yep. It's been this way, but thank you. Appreciate it.
TK, who's the most, I think you guys were talking about this a little bit today. I didn't get to watch the show. I watched the clip you posted. Who's the most, what team you got your eye on the most when the season starts back up tomorrow? Or tonight, I guess.
Ooh, that's such a great question. I might have to steal it.
You got
for
it.
Tomorrow's show.
It's yours.
I think it's gotta be Denver for me, right?
Really?
I think they are being awfully quiet, right? I think the amount of people talking about them is almost none, right? Even you were pretty shocked that I brought them up. But if you look at what they've done since they ended up kind of figuring out their rotation. What are they? 25-9 since they were struggling early in the season. Jokic is still the best player on planet Earth. Jamal Murray has, I don't know how, because I thought he was cooked. I was pretty sure. But he's coming off, his last game was 55 against my Trailblazers. So he's still more than capable, shooting 38% from three. So if he's able to carry a team and be that type of elite scorer that we know him to be capable of in like high leverage moments, and we really don't have anyone else in the West that we trust, right? Like I know that people say that the OKC Thunder are number like the crowned coronated team. they struggle to score. They have their own set of deficiencies and things that I wonder about. They don't have a secondary player that I know for sure is going to be a dog and carry the team. It's Shea, and I really hope it's Chet, but I don't really know because he's coming off of injury and he's only in his second year. I love Jalen Williams, and I just advocated for the Kings to have picked him up in the draft. But he hasn't had that many great games that were important games. So if I'm Denver, I'm like, I know the Lakers are hot-ish right now, but we beat the hell out of them every time we see them hoes. And OKC, they can't score with us. Yeah, they can play defense, but can anyone play defense against Jokic? I don't think so. I don't think he's defendable. I think Jokic would destroy Chet. That body on body, pause. Like, Chet is frail and fragile. He would get sent to, he would touch earth. So I think it's got to be Denver. I think they're being slept on quite a bit with the injuries to Dallas, who I was pretty high on after the trade, the way that that matchup looks between Denver and LA, and just, I don't really trust Houston or Memphis at all. I don't think that they can keep up with what Jokic can do. So I'm very curious. Like, I would not be surprised if I saw Denver play Boston in the finals.
I'm with you on the question marks for OKC. I don't know if they're built for playoff time. I look at the game a little different, and they talk about, you know, not liking defense and stuff like that. But I'm a big believer in those playoff moments. You need those bucket getters. Jalen Williams might be that guy, but I'm not sure. Alex Caruso, who's really, really good as a defender, he's a guy that can lose you a series. Because if teams have enough offense to, like, skirt around him on the defense and say on his offense, we're just going to let him shoot 15 times a game, you're going to be like, oh, they can't make any shots outside of SGA. So I'm interested to seeing what they might be able to do. You've made great arguments about Denver. I think Memphis is being slept on a little bit. I think Houston, simply because they haven't had the experience, is the reason why. But I do think, like, basketball-wise, I think they can go with anybody in the Western Conference playoffs. I'm interested to see what Houston ends up being.
They have one of the worst field goal percentages in the league, especially from deep. This is a team that is going to play bully ball and, you know, try to win these 95 to 97 games. So that's a valuable trait to have in the playoffs, right? They play a good half-court style of basketball. But I think you have to have reliable bucket getters. And I know you love Jalen Green, but I don't – until I see it, I don't believe in Jalen Green in that setting.
You know what, real quick, you know what, it sounds crazy, and I'm not saying they can make a run, but I do think the Kings are built for a playoff series. I just don't know if they can get there. They're not built for the regular season. But when things slow down, like a DeRozan slows down, you got Zach LaVine, Sabonis in the half court, I think they're better than people give them credit for in a playoff series. Once again, I'm just not sure they can get there.
Yeah, I don't agree about Zach LaVine, but everybody knows that. So, everybody knows that. Has he shown up yet? Has he? Or no?
They played well the other night. They lost.
Well, don't bring that kid. Now, Trista watched that game. Yeah,
I watched that game. He has the most forgettable buckets. When you look at his stats, we were like talking about, oh, like, I wonder how Zach LaVine did tonight. And he had 32. I don't remember a single bucket.
No, but you remember that overtime.
Yeah, I do.
She damn near threw a tuna roll at the at the screen watching him play.
And I'm done with Debo. I am so over Debo.
She threw the chopsticks at Debo on that one. Yeah, she was not having it.
And you can see it. The thing that bothers me is you can watch it develop. Like, okay, well, Debo's got the ball. All right, doesn't matter how many guys are around him. Oh, doesn't matter if he's off balance. Guys draped on him, pause. He's taking that shot, and it's not going in. It's not. You just know, like, this is a horrible shot, and there's so many bad shots that he takes in crucial moments. I just, quite frankly, there's not many players on this team I particularly love right now. That's just me. It's not as bad as the Rashawn Holmes days, but
you're not alone.
Rashawn Holmes ain't bothering nobody. Like, that man he's just living his life, and all of a sudden.
Remember, I was out there stumping for Rashawn Holmes. I was like, oh, he's a decent pick and roll center, one of the best pick and roll. Blah, 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 blah. No, Trista, don't stick up for him.
Do you see any pathway to a future for this basketball team?
I hate to say it, man, but like, this is how I operate. This is my philosophy. It's just, I think when I look at basketball teams in terms of like, what pieces do you have that you can turn into, you know, more depth or some sort of semblance of like a future that you believe in? And when you are not a great, when you're a win now team, that makes it very challenging because you can't really use the draft to do that unless you're willing to mortgage your future to do it. And I don't love that idea because I don't think the Kings are that close in order to make such a rash decision. So if you don't believe in the organization in terms of getting win now players, transcendent players who can contribute in a winning fashion right now, like a Chet Holmgren, which they don't come around that often, then you have to start looking at the existing roster and make painful decisions to reset. Because like DeMar DeRozan, you could probably get something for him, something decent, but I don't know what type of players you can get. You could probably get a lot for Keegan or like a decent amount for Keegan, but you say to yourself, well, I don't think his contract's going to command that much, and maybe he's a piece for the future. But, like, the question is really, I hate to even broach it, really. And he's been so awesome, and I love him as a talent, but what can you get for Domas?
I mean, that's the topic again. If people are very convinced that this is going nowhere, and then you
have to
evaluate
it.
You strip it all down.
You don't think there's. Did I understand you? You don't think there's value in a Domas trade?
I think there's value. You have to ask yourself: does he want to stick through that pain? Is that something that is really like fair to him? Can you create a rebuild or a retool in time for him to still be in his prime? Does he limit what type of pieces you can put around the team in order to win? Like, or does he limit the type of team that you can build? These are all questions that you have to ask. And I think Domas would get you a lot. I think he's probably the most valuable piece that this team has right now.
Yeah.
I just think,
and I don't want Domas to go anywhere, but why would you keep him around?
Yeah, I hear you.
That number one, like you guys mentioned, that's the biggest asset you have that can net you the biggest return. And yeah, there's no need in keeping him around. One of the things that I was going to talk about, also following that 2022-23 season being team 1 year, is in hindsight, because all this stuff is in hindsight. You never had a franchise player. You never had a guy that was going to elevate you to that next tier. You never had that. I don't think Sabonis is that. I don't think De'Aaron Fox is that. Like, if we're clamoring to get Cam Johnson to get out of the 10th seed, then you don't have that guy.
That's fine.
So
that's fine.
But my thing was, people were like, "Oh, they had this future and they just sat on it. Did they really?"
Who did they sit on?
They just sat on the team. They didn't do anything to improve.
Oh,
did they really though?
Yeah. I mean, I thought Fox was the guy at one point.
I did too.
I'm not going to pretend
I thought he could be, but
it's become clear,
I thought
though.
Keegan was going to be better than
But I didn't think Keegan was.
But a lot of.
But if you're talking about a leader, that's not a Keegan. No. If you're talking about a franchise guy.
No, I'm just saying, just in general, like we thought a lot of things about those players didn't really come to fruition. We thought by now Keegan be averaging 18, 19 points per game, and be this potential all-star.
Yeah,
and we were wrong.
And he's at least offensively he's regressed. You think he's ass defensively, so you've got nothing. You do.
He's
you just
a good
said
defender.
It. I don't think that's what
that's,
you said.
That.
CJ was calling for him.
Why do I?
You're like,
why do I keep getting jumped on this show? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you not do that? You were like, hey, give me the ball. Look it.
CJ wouldn't.
He
work.
Acted like, yo, guys, lick their chops.
Does it,
pause,
bro?
They
That's what he said.
Well, look, y'all
like,
watched,
switch him.
Y'all watched the same game.
Switch him onto me.
Did CJ look worried at all?
Well, CJ was hitting.
CJ never looks worried against anybody on the Kings.
He even looked flustered. Like he got some type of fluster when Keon was guarding him. There was no flustivity when Keegan was. It's like, I'm just gonna.
I don't think that's a word.
I'm just gonna walk into this three.
Well,
this guy's 5 inches taller than me. So what? Pull up, cash.
That's,
now, once again, to Keegan's defense, he shouldn't be guarding CJ McCollum's.
He should not. I think also the one, if you're thinking to yourself, is there hope? Is there somebody that the Kings can at least think about and be excited about moving forward? And the one thing that you can say is this, is that the Atlanta Hawks finished last year 36-46, 10th place. They were a play-in team. And somehow the Atlanta Hawks won the freaking lottery. That's a possibility. That's something that you can say, well, listen, we don't get in the playoffs and we miss the play-in, whatever. We can get Cooper Flagg. That's a real possibility. It's a very low likelihood, but it happened. Atlanta had the number one overall pick, and they should not have had it. I don't even know what the percentage was for them to get it, but it was very low. Imagine getting Dylan Harper. Dylan Harper will be a leader. Absolutely will be a leader. He's super nice. Like he's going to be a consummate pro. He's like a very like vocal leader. You've got guys like Cooper Flagg that certainly you're hoping to get, but there's other dudes out there as well. VJ Edgecombe. You've got Ace Bailey. There's dudes that I think will, you know, could help immediately. Cooper Flagg being obviously number one. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Speaking of Dylan Harper, he's on my lineup for Prize Picks tonight. I went all college tonight on Prize Picks. I got RJ Davis.
What else were you going to
do? I got Malik Mack. I got DJ Wagner. I got Dylan Harper. And I got Ace Bailey. All of those guys. Well, actually, three of those guys, I'm going more with the points. RJ Davis, Malik Mack at Georgetown, and Dylan Harper. I'm going less with the points with DJ Wagner and Ace Bailey. Make sure, if you go to Prize Picks, put in that promo code KIFM. So you get $50 with your first $5 lineup. Must be present in certain states.
That was a good
No, I love
Prize Picks. Run your game.
I love that we're so good at this point. Even people who listen every day had no clue that was a read. I love the world that we've built here. It's just terrific. Just absolutely
Shout
terrific.
Shout out, Tristan. Reminded me of Dylan Harper being in my lineup today.
Got to pay the bills.
Yeah, the problem is, bro. The problem is, like you talking about these draft selections. Like I don't know that they have a front office capable of drafting the right guy.
You gotta fire them as soon as the season ends. They cannot stay.
Please say
it. They got to go.
Please say it louder in case anyone didn't hear.
Fire them. Fire everybody.
Well, that
Wes. I don't care. The get rid of that little. I'm tired of seeing that bubble vest.
Well, even if you do, like, you can go get whoever in here you want to. The living and dying by the draft is just, it's Russian roulette.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it is. But it seems like every other franchise is hit.
Yeah.
I guess the Kings hit with Tyrese, but they had other plans for him.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
He's regressed, though, too, guys.
So like, I don't think. Really... So you talk about the one, the leader. I don't think Tyrese is that either. Tyrese is like a fine leader, but is he the guy to lead a team?
No, I think you could. I think you can build around him, though. I think he has leadership skills that helps with
putting the team together. Well, would we have been in a better position if the trade was De'Aaron Fox for Domantas Sabonis?
Yes. Because you wouldn't have Zach LaVine on your effing team, and you would still have Tyrese Halliburton and Domantas Sabonis, and he would have never hamstringed you and tried to say he didn't want to leave and did want to leave. He would have never hired Clutch Sports. Absolutely, absolutely, it would have been a better spot. Mm. And it would have never been bad vibes. Tyrese makes you feel good when you talk to him. It's like De'Aaron Fox was moody.
That is Tyrese. We never knew. That's Tyrese's, that's his superpower. He is a leader. He is a galvanizer of people. And he's good at basketball, so I don't want to make it like he's...
No, he's very good, yeah.
But I never thought he was better than De'Aaron Fox as a basketball player. But what he didn't have as a basketball player, he would be able to make up for in his leadership and galvanizing abilities.
Yeah, De'Aaron's like a very talented... He's like that coworker that you have that's very talented, but... They just are always complaining about something. You know, walk in and you were in a great mood and like, traffic. You see, my DoorDash was late. our manager called me and what's he want? My old lady wants to go to the movies. Like, dog, you don't.
Man, these shots at Kenny all day are just so unsolicited.
that ain't me. I don't say two words in this building.
Kenny don't walk in complaining about anything.
In a good mood a lot.
Kenny will just walk in and go, man, it was an accident. just keep going.
Kenny's good vibes.
I don't think Kenny's ever complained about. Well, Kenny complained once, and man, did stuff get done after that. But
I don't say nothing in this building.
Kenny's the type of player who is a certified bucket, but eats 8 bags of Chester Cheetos.
Oh, Dwight Howard.
A day.
Cheetos are gross.
An Aunt Edwards, if you will. There you go. Makes everybody feel good when they're around him. But you know,
send a video.
Like, he doesn't really want to put all the work in because he's so immensely talented, he doesn't feel like he has to.
I play.
That's man, that personality profile is crazy.
I play my role. There's a lot of things I do differently, but I play my role. There's a lot of things.
My bad. I didn't mean to open up any wounds.
There's a lot of ideas I have. A lot of things I do differently, but you know what?
People damn, this is like when I was on. Never mind.
No, this is a shoot. Like, we actually don't get along. People think this is a work. Like, we actually don't get along. It's two people who were thrown together, like, yo, do a show together. Fine.
You guys do excellent content together. And I will say this, no matter what the actual reality is, you guys have a smile on your face. And I look forward to being around both of you equally every time I see you and every time I come on.
Well, I'd be around you. They just be playing. They'd be like, oh, Trista, I'm in Alameda. Or Trista, I'm at the Logan Murdoch show.
No, it's facts. No, but Kenny's a feel good. Kenny, you want to be around him. He's got the warmth of the sun. That he really does. Well, you really you do. That is your gift, Kenny.
She says she wants to be around me. Well, she wasn't around me all weekend.
Well, it just sounds like that
you
was your fault.
You spent 7 minutes at sushi.
And then I
could have gotten you into the meta party. We could have been inside.
Oh, another party you could have gotten into.
I hit TK up. What's the move? I said, what's the move?
You gotta hit me prior. It can't be when the fire marshals come in and shut the party.
It was 8 o'clock.
They turned away Michael Crabtree. They're not letting another person in.
Kenny getting in while Michael Crabtree getting turned away would have been so awesome.
Crabtree getting turned away.
Crabtree looking to KC. Hey, can you get me in, bro? Hey, sorry, man. I can't.
I said to them, I was like, by one of the party like curators, I was like, hey, they just turned away Michael Crabtree.
KC could have had the weekend of a lifetime.
Well, people were in the hotel room.
Who?
TK. I asked her, what's the move? Let's go. She said, I'm in a hotel room, dog.
She said you texted her.
I was talking about when actually there was stuff going on that I wanted to be a part of and I could have got you into. I could have said, hey, you know, you can use my charger.
That's tough.
Well, see, yeah, that wouldn't have been the case. If I would have linked up with TK, would have had the charger, I would have been at Curry's party. I wouldn't even gone back to the hotel.
By the way, we have to talk about that photo really fast of Curry and Aisha. She wears the pants. She wears the pants. That's all I'll say. That's what I got out of it.
I love that we're ending this segment with TK charging the computer. All right, we can't push this break anymore. No, I got you. We love you to death. We are tapped in the rest of the week. For you, Cam and Mace, looking forward to that. Hopefully there's a lot more on the way.
Love y'all. Talk to you soon.
TK. All right, love you, TK. We'll come back. I think Casey's on his way out of here. James Hamm at the top of the hour. Dealing with KC, ESPN 1320. Perfect time to start coughing right when we get back from commercial break. Longest commercial break ever. Didn't cough once. Get back here from the break and we got to start coughing. Don't even have my partner here because he's out meeting with Johnny Jennings. That's not true. He's actually not meeting with Johnny Jennings. But if you need to sell your home, that's who you need to talk to. Johnny Jennings and his Made for More Realty team. They are the professional realtors in the area. And the real estate bar has been raised. Clients today expect more net proceeds for their home and a faster sale. Casey was telling you about Jennifer, who was selling her house in Rockland. She was able to sell it quickly at top dollar in her neighborhood. She sold it for more than other homes in her neighborhood sold for. And that's all because of Johnny Jennings and that crew over there at Made for More Realty. They sell your home 27% faster than other homes on the market. They will sell your home for an average 3% higher price than other realtors will. And they have a lot of incentives for you to join them. Ask about their Fix It Before You List It program with no upfront cost to you. Ask about their no cost to you home warranty to protect your home while it sells. Expect more, get more with Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty, California, DRE. Number 0198-2171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home. I don't know why the word realty beats my ass every time I try to say it. Made for More Realty. That's easy. But let me try to say it. Oh, it'll whoop me. Our man Tom asked, D-Lo, do you know what are the main reasons why the team owners don't want to do a rebuild? Tom, my feeling is they thought this team was good enough. I think that's what it all boils down to. It boils down to that Beam team 1 year, the quick turnaround under Mike Brown, or you know the collection of that group being able to turn it around with Mike Brown, and the thought that like, oh, okay, like remember that conversation after Game 7. I remember our conversation after Game 7. Of course, part of it is the way that that game ended. You had the entire fourth quarter, really, because they got blown out so badly in that third quarter. You had that entire fourth quarter to kind of digest the fact that it was over, right? You had the entire fourth quarter to just take a breath and understand, all right, the season was over, but overall, I think we're in good shape. And I know our vibe in particular hated losing Game 7, hated losing Game 7 at home. But the vibe the next day was, that's all right, man. This team has a bright future. We saw the season that Keegan Murray had. We saw De'Aaron Fox play at a superstar level in the playoffs. And Domas, man, he's just got this figured out. We good. Maybe a few tweaks here, a few tweaks there, a little additions, whatever. We good. And as we all learn, man, that wound up not being the case. And it feels like since things kind of went wrong that second year, this front office has been chasing their tail. And it's clear they still, and like part of me wonders, man, the question of this season that I will ask myself for a while is if you had forced San Antonio's hand. And because all of this, oh, we could have done it in the offseason. Oh, we could have gotten more for him. All of this, the San Antonio stuff of, if I'm the Spurs, I don't have to give anything up. He wants to play here. Oh, we'll sign him in free agency. That is so terribly unrealistic because of the money involved. The money is important to De'Aaron Fox, and equally as importantly, it's important to Rich Paul. It's important to Clutch Sports. Go listen to, I didn't, for the record, I want to make this clear, but Rich Paul was on your boy's podcast, Gilbert. Y'all know my rule. I'm not listening to a podcast or watching a podcast that Gilbert Arenas hosts. I will never care what that man says about anything. But he had Rich Paul on it. And I saw some quotes from it on Hoopipe. Now, I do like Rich Paul. I am curious what Rich Paul has to say. And Rich Paul talked about De'Aaron Fox. He talked about Anthony Davis. I mean, if you have not wrapped your brain around the power that the agents have within the league, go listen to Rich Paul. Rich Paul talks about the Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis deal. The line that sticks out, yeah, I didn't know, and it's a good thing I did, because if I did, that trade wouldn't have happened. Talks about De'Aaron Fox. He wanted to get to San Antonio. I knew I could get him to San Antonio. I wanted to get him to San Antonio. I could do this. I could do that. There was another player who he addressed in that. I can't remember exactly who it was, but you read this, you read his words, and you're like, yeah, this is an agent's business, and this is a powerful agent's business. And it's not just De'Aaron Fox that wanted to sign that contract extension, the max contract extension. It's Rich Paul who wanted that for him. So this whole wait till free agency, oh, we don't have to do anything, that's cap. San Antonio knows that's cap. That's fan talk. Fans do that stuff because fans don't recognize how this really works. So fans go out and do that stuff, and we think that it's reality. It's not reality. It's being a fan. It's being invested. It's being emotionally invested. Nothing wrong with that, but it's not reality. And so the question I ask myself repeatedly is if the Kings had forced San Antonio's hand, and left the Zach LaVine thing aside, and they acquired, we'll leave Castle out of this, but we'll say, you know, one, Keldon Johnson, we'll say who, whatever other player, we'll leave Stephon out of this, right? One of the other players, Keldon Johnson, whoever, and a draft pick, maybe two. We'll say one draft pick and two players, because that fits into what I'm going to ask you a little bit closer. That team with, and I'll just use Keldon as an example, so Keldon Johnson. And then you got Valanciunas, you got Laravia, and then you've got the rest of the crew here. Malik, Domas, everybody else is here. Is the team just as good as they are with Zach LaVine? Like, are they exactly the same? Are they mildly better? Are they mildly worse? Are they way worse? Are they way better? Because to me, I feel like the team is, at worst, the same. It's the same. But you have that extra draft pick now. Now we have, you know, whether that draft pick is in 2 years and we believe San Antonio is going to be whatever. It's fine. Like, I don't care. Fine. But you have something. You have the equity. You probably have a more defined space for Keon Ellis in this, which is what fans are frustrated with now is, you know, Keon not playing at the end of certain games because DeMar and Zach LaVine are out there. Will you eliminate Zach LaVine from this equation? Are they better? Or are they exactly the same? You just aren't saddled with the, you know, 90-some-odd million dollars or whatever it is over the next 2 years that Zach LaVine is owed, and you've got one or maybe two extra draft picks involved. But the Kings thought win now. And if we're losing a scoring talent, we've got to go acquire a scoring talent. Trista, James, they don't like Zach LaVine. That's fine. I don't think Zach LaVine is as bad as they think he is. However, my eyes are starting to open a little bit. Not that Zach LaVine is a bad basketball player. It's not at all what I'm suggesting. It's that I don't know how Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, DeMontis Sabonis, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, I don't know how this all works together. And that was the feeling coming out of, that was my feeling coming out of the Dallas Mavericks game, which I acknowledged. I wasn't going to rain on the parade because that game was phenomenal. Kings won. DeMar is, you know, crazy. And then they go on and beat the Pelicans. It's like, whatever. Like, my feelings don't matter in all of this. They're winning games. They've won three in a row. They got a chance to make it four going into the break. Perfect. They don't. Right? And then, really, that second Pelicans game was about getting roughed up defensively. You gave up how many points? 130-something? To a 13-win Pelican team? You get to 130-something. It was 140. 140 in a single overtime to that Pelicans team.